Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman. I'm joined in studio by Walker Wildman, AFA Vice President of Operations. And Steve Jordahl has stepped in, reporter and news anchor for American Family News. Good morning slash good afternoon, Steve.
Good morning slash good afternoon slash good evening. And it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. And we also have from Shawnee, Kansas, Ray Pritchard, founder of Keep Believing Ministries. Ray, tell our listeners what your website is and what they can find at Keep Believing Ministries, especially during Holy Week.
Well, if you come to keepbelieving.com this week, you're going to see a banner at the very top of the page offering 58 different Bible study sermons, messages on Good Friday and Easter. These aren't just outlines. They're full text covering the whole story of this last week, discussing what happened Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then going with our Lord as he makes his way to the cross, then to the tomb, and then the joyous Easter Sunday when our Lord rose from the dead. So we have a lot. This is, of course, a great week for Christians around the world. And if you're looking for resources to help you study what happened on this week, or just to build your faith as we're moving along toward Good Friday and Easter Sunday, well, we've got the resources for you. They're all free. Come see us at keepbelieving.com.
All right. That is Ray Pritchard, who is a regular guest, a regular co-host. We were going back and forth with Sandy about being a regular guest, a regular host, unusual host.
You're a regular co-host.
I'm now understanding why, Ray, you're only on with us every other day. If you wrote 58 different whole sermons that you could post on your website just this week.
It took me quite a few years.
You know? I'm guessing.
That did not happen all at once, that's for sure.
Man. Impressive.
Very, very impressive. All right, Steve, what we got that's kind of at the top of your list for
Well,
news.
I know that you say you're sitting in for Tim, and I wish he was here because I'd love to run this by him. I'd love to hear what he has to say about this. To just wrap up the Tiger Masters thing,
right?
Great comeback, first Masters tournament, first major in a long time for him. President Trump is a golf fan, in fact, owns some golf courses, and he tweeted out this. Spoke to Tiger to congratulate him on the great victory he had yesterday at the Masters, and to inform him that because of his incredible success and comeback in sports, golf, and more importantly, life, I will be presenting him with the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Yeah, that's impressive stuff for a golfer.
So the Medal of Freedom is traditionally given for what? Whatever the president says
it's
is
the president's,
awesome?
It's the president's thing to give, but usually they're handed out for lifetime achievements in whatever. It could be art, it could be politics, it could be that. And it might be equivalent to a civilian Medal of Honor,
right?
And everything. This is my thought. In golf, one of the best shots you can hit is called an eagle. And an eagle is the symbol of the United States, and it's on the presidential seal. And so he feels like there's the connection.
that is a long way to go for a connection.
I'm trying to figure out what the president's thinking.
I don't know what he's thinking.
But has any other golfer gotten the Presidential Medal of Freedom? I mean, Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Palmer, some of the other greats. And yeah, I was thinking, if Tiger gets it, first of all, the president can do what he wants.
That's right.
It's at his discretion. And number two, that was an amazing come from behind victory at the Masters. And we all know the personal story of Tiger's struggles, health issues, and all the rest. So it's fantastic. Americans love a comeback, right?
We
love somebody gets knocked down and they fight their way back to the top. I'm thinking that most of the – this is a long question, I'm sorry, but I'm just thinking out loud here that most of the men and women who are given the Presidential Medal of Freedom are older, right? They're in there. Late 50s, 60s, and 70s, Tiger might be the youngest person, or one of the youngest, certainly, ever to receive that award.
I have a list of all the athletes that have received, over the years, the Presidential Medal of Freedom. In 1963, John F. Kennedy awarded it to Robert Kipuff, which shows you that it isn't a necessary license to fame. He was a swimmer. Robert J.H. Kipuff.
Never heard of him.
Never heard of him either.
Jesse Owens, Joe DiMaggio, Bear Bryant, Jackie Robinson, football player Earl Blake, Ted Williams, Richard Petty, Arthur Ashe, Hank Aaron, John Wooden, Roberto Clemente, Arnold and Jack from golf, Muhammad Ali, Frank Robinson, Buck O'Neill, a great Negro League baseball player, Billie Jean King, Bill Russell, Stan Musial, Pat Summitt, Dean Smith, Ernie Banks, Charles Sifford, who's a golfer.
How long is the list?
We're almost done. No.
30 more?
Yeah.
So you got
an idea.
Well, there are a lot of impressive names.
There's a big time. It's a big time.
So, listen, I'm not a golf fan, so I don't know whether Tiger Woods, fits into that. I mean, I know before his personal troubles and his physical troubles, he had tremendous problems with his back and stuff. I mean, he was just amazing. Mm-hmm. Winning, a Masters tournament, winning all kinds of, championships. And I do like the comeback. I certainly hope. He's got his personal life, in order and all those kind of things. But I don't have an opinion on it. If the president says he thinks he should have it, who might argue?
It looks like in 2016, President Obama gave the Medal of Freedom to Bruce Springsteen, Michael Jordan, Tom Hanks, Robert De Niro, and Ellen DeGeneres, amongst others, at this ceremony here. So, the president looks like he can hand it out to whoever.
It's his medal. It's a nice-looking medal, by the way. My question or my comment, my thought about the early Tiger Woods, I was always amazed because immediately after he'd win, like, the Masters by 12 strokes or the U.S. Open, just blowing the field away, you read a story where Tiger is relearning tweaking his golf swing.
Right, yeah.
I was like, you just won. You're the best in the world by far, and now you're messing with it? What in the world? But
you know what was encouraging was to see – I was watching when Tiger putted in the winning shot. By the way, for those who didn't watch, he got on the green. He had basically two shots that he could – he had one shot that he could miss it and still win, but he had to make this last putt to win, and it was like a 3 or 4 foot putt, and I was just thinking the nerves that are going on in Tiger's mind right now that you got to make that putt.
But what
I was going to say is his father – in 2005, his father was struggling with heart issues, I believe. And that was the last tournament that his father got to see Tiger win.
Yeah.
And then Tiger's son was standing in the same spot, and they gave the same type hug after Tiger won the other day.
A lot of resonance there. Yeah,
wow.
For sure.
Wow.
Tiger's faced that kind of situation so much. I doubt that his nerves would be like my nerves at the time, but yeah.
Well, listen, that kind of ice water in the veins, that kind of resolve in the face of untold pressure kind of reminds me of my athletic career.
Yeah, most.
So, when you're playing intramurals, it can get pretty
rough
out there. That's right. Remember? All right, let's go before I embarrass myself further.
All right. Guess what's happening Thursday? We're going to finally see the Mueller report, or at least a version of it that is redacted. It's been promised to us. They will have. So you're not allowed to send out or to publish grand jury testimony.
Right.
You're not allowed to publish, obviously, state secrets or confidential or secret, top secret stuff. You're not allowed to publish things that, like, there's some committee confidential stuff that they won't be putting in there. But Democrats are furious.
Well, first, let me just say this. For a guy who's not OCD, but I do like organization, I've heard that this is color-coded.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is a beautiful thing. Is this color-coded, this report?
It is. It will be.
There you go.
But this is the brilliance of this, I think. He's going to say, so the Democrats are going to say, you should have let this out. And so he's going to say, now, which confidential material do you think I should have published? This green one here, this green one here? Or which grand jury should I break the law in publishing? This yellow one? I mean, it's brilliant.
Yeah. I think, and then let you guys, Walker, you and Ray, jump in if you want. We all know that this for the Democrats is political theater. They are trying to make a political point out of a report that apparently is not going to make the political point they'd hoped it was going to make about Russian collusion. So now they've got to make it about something else. So I hope the American people don't fall for these kinds of hijinks. I think if they insisted, I think Mueller could say, well, listen, we will put the full report in a room, secure room, and you can pick leaders to come and check it out, but you are not allowed to leak material that is not supposed to be leaked. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
It would be frustrating to them. Yeah. I think he could do that. I don't.
Yeah, but the only thing here is that it's never enough. You could publish the entire report unredacted, break all kind of countless federal laws. Attorney General Barr go to jail, so will everybody else who leaked it. So the thing is, the Democrats love asking for what they know they can't get.
Right.
And this is what they do historically. They ask for things they know they can't get, and then when they don't get them, they call it a conspiracy or a cover-up or things like that. So, I just don't know at some point. It's becoming almost like a tireless, like a repetitive thing where every time we the Trump administration and the DOJ do all the things they need to do to make the Democrats happy and for all transparency and all this, and then they get it done and they sweat and they rush and they get it out and they let them see it, and then they go, oh, that's not enough.
Well, Ray, the good thing is that if Barr, the Attorney General, does investigate, the FISA court and all, those who did some of these investigations, I am pretty sure that the Democrats will demand that full report be released.
Well, whatever happens on Thursday isn't going to end the debate, right?
Right.
That the other side, the partisans on the other side, are going to find whatever ammunition they think they need to continue their battle against President Trump. This isn't really a question of facts, because we already know there was no evidence of collusion, right? And there was nothing rising to the level of obstruction of justice. But that's not going to satisfy Senator Schumer and Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff and all the rest of them. What happens on Thursday is just going to be pouring gasoline on the fire, and the Democrats are going to say, see, this proves there was collusion. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like an ink blot for them. They're going to see what they want to see in it, right, regardless of the facts.
I like that. Ink blot.
Yeah.
It's an ink blot test.
And
much of politics is becoming that. I mean, where you only listen to your side, you only read the stuff that agrees with your viewpoint, and then when it's time to make a judgment call, you see what you see.
I mean, I just wonder, and I think I know the answer to my own question here, but when you poll voters, even in California, even in liberal states, you just wonder how high on the list the Mueller report ranks as far as the Russia investigation. And I know the answer is it ranks like pretty low. I think, the economy, immigration, things like that are at the top. Our health care is up there too. So you just wonder at what point do the Democrats go, all right, we've kind of exhausted this horse.
Right.
We've ridden it all we can. Let's actually move on to something that the voters care about for 2020. But they may never do that. They may stick to this.
All right, Steve, what else?
All right. We officially have a Republican challenger to President Trump. Former Massachusetts Governor Bill Weld announced on Monday. Let me read you just a little sentence that he said in announcing. He says, "It is time for patriotic men and women across our great nation to stand and plant a flag. It is time to return to the principles of Lincoln, equality, dignity, and opportunity for all. There is no greater cause on earth than to preserve what truly makes America great. I'm ready to lead the fight."
Did you announce who that was?
Bill Weld.
Bill Weld, yes.
Yes, I think I did, didn't I?
Oh, I
you weren't listening,
I
were
wasn't
you?
Listening.
That's the problem Bill Weld is going to have.
Exactly.
Right there.
Exactly.
There's the issue with this candidacy right there.
Oh, big yawn. I was trying to look for sports videos. No, I wasn't. Actually, I was thinking about, Bill Weld was governor, I think, in the early 90s. He was instrumental in getting GLSEN in public schools in Massachusetts, the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network. So I was thinking, I was remembering all that stuff to Bill Weld. Bill Weld is a social liberal, and probably, I'm not sure what his fiscal outlook is, but I think he's probably more fiscally conservative. But he's to Ray's point, that's going to be the problem. People can go, who, Bill?
And
this is one of those things where you just wish you could be a fly on the wall in their campaign launch meeting. You know, who in there is going, man, I think you got a shot. You're gonna. I think you can beat Trump. You know, I don't know who in his ego is telling him, man, you got this. You can beat Trump.
Right.
You can beat Biden. You can beat them all and win the presidency. And you're going to need about $1 billion in campaign funds to do so.
I think the answer for a lot of politicians is, who's telling them they can win? It's their own. It is their own ego.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They just really believe the world needs me.
Yeah.
This country needs me. I'm the answer to the problems of this country. Mm. Now, to be fair, Trump's ego said, I can do this.
Yeah,
sure.
But at least he had enough. He was well known enough to already have kind of a head start.
Right.
I think all these politicians, I think Barack Obama thought that. I mean, I think politicians, you have to have a pretty sizable ego to think, I can turn this ship around.
Mm-hmm. In Trump's defense, though, it isn't bragging if you can actually do it, right?
Yeah, well, that's
right.
And you can kind of tell when you jump in a race how things are going to go. If you're a month or two into your campaign, you can't even raise $1 million, and you're polling like 16th, then I'm not so sure you're gonna catch up. The thing, what gave Trump fire is he came out and did that press conference in 2015. Said he's going to build a wall,
yeah, right.
And he was like at the top of the leaderboard amongst the Republicans. So unless you get that boost, it's hard to catch
up.
Might
be worth noting he hasn't built that wall yet, and 2020 is coming up. I think sometimes candidates will go and they know they're not going to win. This might be something like, Bernie Sanders is actually leading, but they sometimes just want to stay in the race long enough to drag the rest of the field a little bit left or to their position. They know they're not going to win, but if they can get on the debate stage and challenge them and start to talk about this.
Who was it? There's someone who's announced in the last week for the Democratic field, and that was precisely what he said. It was an old guy from the 80s.
The guy from Alaska?
Yeah, that's it. Was it Gravel?
Yeah, I think, isn't that his name?
I think Mike Gravel.
I missed that one.
He said.
That's right. He said, you're right.
Go ahead, Ray.
He said exactly what you said, Ed. He's not really running to win. He's running to pull the party to the left.
Yeah.
And
I just thought,
if you got the money, go ahead, I guess.
The left. And this guy, he's 88 or something.
He's way up there.
He's way up there.
And he doesn't have a lot of time to spend his money left. That's
true.
Can you pull the party any further left anyway? I'm not sure.
That's amazing that he thinks there's room over there. But, well, there is a cliff. And maybe he's going to pull them over.
So to sum up, Ed, we're saying we're not really too hopped up about Bill Weld's possibility of defeating the president.
And listen, I guess this means that I do not have an ego like these guys because I do not believe I'm the answer that this country's looking for. That's why I'm not running.
There's still time to get in the race.
That's why I'm not running.
There you go.
That's the only reason. All right, Steve, let's move us along again.
Let's talk a little bit about what happened last night. I know you guys talked a little bit about the town hall last hour, didn't you? The Bernie's town hall on Fox?
Yes, we did.
Yes.
There were a couple interesting clips that I wanted to play, if that's okay with you.
Absolutely.
Guys to return to that. Bernie was talking about... They nailed him. They tried to nail him. Well, I guess they weren't nailed. It was an honest question from Bret Baier. He asked Bernie why he decided to take advantage of the Trump tax break that he was afforded if he imposed it so much. This is cut two.
Your taxes do show that you're a millionaire. You did make a million in 2016, 2017. You're right, the 561 in 2018. But your marginal tax rate was 26% because of President Trump's tax cuts. So why not say, you know, I'm leading this revolution. I'm not going to take those.
Come on. But, dearie, I paid the taxes that I owe. And by the way, why don't you got Donald Trump up here and ask him how much he pays in taxes? I guess the president watches your network a little bit, right? Hey, President Trump, My wife and I just released 10 years. Please do the same.
You spend a lot of time vilifying millionaires.
No, I don't vilify. Just so happens that the very wealthy are doing incredibly wealthy. It's not vilifying to say that people have a whole lot of money, in some cases billions of dollars of wealth. They should pay their fair share of taxes.
There you go.
I'm going to have to learn. Apparently, if he's doing well in the polls, I'm going to have to learn how to imitate his voice.
Yeah, you should.
It's very distinctive.
It is. It is. I want to play one more for you. One of the questions that's being asked a lot is, how are you going to pay for all the free stuff? Basically, healthcare, to take one example. And Martha McCallum asked him how he was planning on paying for his healthcare plan. This is cut three.
Healthcare is not free. You never heard me suggest that we're going to match.
You just said it was going to be free for everyone.
It's going to be free at the point of when you use it. Okay? And you go to, why are you so shocked by this? You're not paying any more premiums. You're not paying any more co-payments. You're not paying any more deductibles. But does that mean you're not going to pay something? Of course it does. You're going to pay more in taxes.
There you go.
At least he's honest. At least he's honest.
Yeah.
You're going to pay more in taxes.
I don't even know what to say about that.
That's like a circus.
Well, he knows that you can't forever go on and say, hey, it's free for everybody. Somebody's got to pay for it.
Sure.
So, but now my understanding is I just saw something today, 50 million Americans pay 0% in taxes or less. They get money back.
You get money back.
They do. Wow. So at least those folks aren't going to pay more in taxes. So somebody will be paying.
Right.
My understanding is it would be wound up $20,000 per person, I think, or maybe household, is what his plan would be. Anyway, if you thought it was irritating to hear about Obamacare for years, talking about it, just get set for another year and a half or whatever, talking about Bernie Sanders and others, free Medicaid, Medicare for all, and all that. Just get used to it, folks.
You know, one of the most disturbing things is that we have an electorate. We have people who will go to this town hall and cheer Medicare for all. Great idea. He did receive a pretty good applause for that, didn't he?
Yeah, it struck me that wasn't just people off the street. Bernie Sanders people put those people in the seats.
Right.
Yeah, because they were cheering.
But the polling, even the polling shows, pretty good amount of Americans are open to Medicare for all.
Yeah, but they're not cheering, standing ovation with every breath.
Yeah, but
for it.
Look, Bernie Sanders is leading the Democrat primary, and there's 18 candidates, and he's a full-out socialist. So somebody out there likes him.
Yeah.
So maybe not 50-50 as far as the population goes, but there's a large chunk of Americans who are Democrat voters who like this stuff. They think it's a great idea. And that's kind of concerning to me.
Well, I say this, and Ray, we'll give you the last word here because we're almost out of time. It seems to me that, to Walker's point, there are a lot of people in this country who really struggle when it comes to health care.
Right.
They don't understand the issues. Someone comes along. I mean, these people are desperate, and someone comes along and says, "Hey, we can solve this very." I'm sure they're burdened and under the weight of all this, and someone comes along and says, "Hey, we can do this. And won't cost you anything." I think that's what a lot of these people are.
Well, in the first place, Ed, everybody loves free stuff, right?
Right.
And if you're in the position you're talking about, it sounds like a miracle answer to all your cures. But he's the Pied Piper, Sanders is. I'm afraid leading people off the cliff, not in the right direction.
All right. We are done for this edition of Today's Issues. Tomorrow, don't forget to go pick up a Chick-fil-A sandwich if you are in the area. You can go today, but, make sure you go tomorrow. That's when it counts. Anyway, more great programming directly ahead on the American Family Radio Network. Tune into that, and then, Lord willing, tune back in tomorrow. We'll be here. Bye for now.